Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call from my producer this morning saying, would you like to talk to Jose Canseco? I said, absolutely. I would like to talk to Jose Canseco. There aren't too many athletes who have worn as many hats as he's worn. Rookie of the year, MVP, superstar, villain, pariah, whistleblower. Very, very interesting life led by Jose Canseco. And to talk about it, I'm very happy to welcome him here to the Damon Bruce Show. He is in town because he has signed with the Pittsburgh Diamonds, agrees to a contract with them. He'll be a member of the Pacific Association of Professional Baseball Clubs here in the Bay Area. And he is inked. And I appreciate your time this afternoon, Jose. Damon Bruce, thanks very much for coming on my show. How you doing?
You forgot to mention Madonna's Bat Boy.
We're actually going to wrap up with those kinds of questions when we see how this goes, but I can tell we're off to a great start, Jose, no doubt about it. Let me just start with this. I don't do interviews with a lot of guys that I had posters of when I was a kid. I'm 41 years
old.
Me
either, never.
The Bash Brothers, you don't have a Damon Bruce poster hanging up in your room right now?
I tore it down. I don't know. You weren't performing.
It is cool to talk to you, man. You have lived an extraordinary baseball life. It started in a world where social media didn't exist, and now it does. I wonder how you would have been covered, what the perceptions and ideas of you would have been if Facebook and Twitter had been around in the 80s and 90s. Do you think that would have been a different platform for you?
I probably would be radioactive by now. Yeah, the platform would have been tremendous and blown out of proportion and exaggerated. And yeah, it's impossible to say, but yeah, I'd probably be radioactive by now.
You know, you have been, like I said, a hero, a villain. You have been incredibly popular. You've been off the radar, on the radar. Let's talk about why you're playing for the Pittsburgh Diamonds out here in the Pacific Association of Professional Baseball Clubs. Let's start with, is it really going to be you, or is Ozzy going to show up and take the swings?
Well, it depends on how long I can last. Ozzy may run for me. I may hit, and my brother may run for me. So watch out for the quick switch. We're kind of like magicians. No, actually, I'm hitting for most of the league. I'm actually playing for sure, DHing. Might pitch a little bit, maybe play a little bit of first here and there. But, it's a 4-team league. We want to promote. We want to get it going. We want to try to develop it into a 6 to 8 to 12-team league eventually. And it's strong baseball. It's very good pitching out here. The guys are great. It's moving along forward, and hopefully it can turn out great for everyone.
Does this help you miss the game or not miss the game as much? I mean, when I talk to guys who get away from the game, they talk about missing the guys, missing the clubhouse, the sights, the smells, the crack of the bat, the crunch of the brick, all that stuff. Does this kind of transport you back to a different time in your life?
You know, it does. I've always said my addiction is baseball, and I love the game. I've been playing the game at a professional level since I was 17 years old, so imagine I'm 52. It's a very long time. But anytime you can associate yourself with the game to get out there and play, I think I'm still in pretty good physical shape to just DH. You definitely won't see me stealing any bases, that's for sure.
The wheels are gone?
But, the whole environment is great. Playing baseball, swinging the bat, the smells of the game, the grass, the guys. It's just the best game in the world.
Jose's debut with the Pittsburgh Diamonds begins officially with a golf tournament Friday, August 5th at the Roddy Ranch Golf Course. You can go to diamondsproball.com to find out how you can be a part of that. Jose, where do you spend your time these days most of the time? Where do you live, first of all?
Well, I live in Las Vegas and really spend my time just being in shape. I'm very active. I love to play golf, softball, baseball, bowling. I play a lot of poker. I just love to be active. I like to get out there in the hot weather, and it's like 120 degrees out there in Vegas, so it's a great break coming down here. But I'm just a very active individual.
When someone walks up to you, do you feel, for the most part, you're being approached because you are Jose Canseco, the ball player? Are they approaching you because you're Jose Canseco, the whistleblower?
I don't know. I think that's a great question for the fans. It could be, you know, a portion of each, really. I think when people see me walking around, and even just see me from the back, I'm 6'4", probably about 270 pounds, and I'm pretty good fit physical shape. I think people just see, oh, he's an athlete. Then when I turn around, they go, oh, wait a minute. It looks like Jose Canseco. You know how many times I've been asked, are you Jose Canseco? Do you know Jose Canseco? Wow, you look so much like Jose Canseco. So I think my height, my physicality kind of gives it away quickly.
See, my opening line would be, are you Ozzy Canseco? I swear you look like Ozzy Canseco.
That would be a good one, but I think every time that they see my brother, they ask him, are you Jose Canseco? He gets so pissed off because, of course, physically he's the closest thing there is to me. But no one's ever asked me if I'm Ozzy Canseco. But my brother does have that problem. They ask him constantly, wow, are you Jose Canseco? You sure just look just like him. When he says no, he's not Jose Canseco, they say, yes, you are. You are Jose Canseco. Sometimes he'll say, yes, I'm Jose Canseco. And the fans say, no, you're not. You're not Jose Canseco. So you can't please anybody in and out nowadays. It's possible.
You know, normally, and we're talking with Jose Canseco here on 95.7 The Game.
Are you sure?
I think we are. I, as far as I can tell, this sounds like Jose Canseco. And normally,
but Ozzy sounds just like Jose. Oh. Jose sounds identical to Ozzy.
Let me tell you, I'm not coming to any Diamonds games if this isn't really Jose Canseco. I'm just telling you that right now.
It is. Come on.
You know, I normally the truth sets people free, but you did not fall into that category. It seems like you never got the credit for being the one honest guy in a room full of liars about the steroid era. And I think maybe it's because the book was presented by some, certainly people who were against the message coming out, as a money grab by you. And it wasn't given its credit for being maybe the single most honest testimonial about the steroid era. I did read your book, Jose, when it came out. I thought it was fascinating. And I've always said, I hope you appreciate the honesty here, I said, I don't know if I would trust Jose Canseco on a lot of broad subjects, but he's the one guy I am pretty sure is telling the truth about steroids.
You could trust me on any broad subject. Go ahead, ask me any question.
Do you feel that when whistleblowers get ripped apart for being the first guy through the wall with the truth, they normally are hailed as heroes? You will never, I don't think that's ever going to apply to you. I know that you've just done a documentary calling The Truth Hurts, and I haven't seen the documentary yet, Jose, but I did see the preview. And you talked, one of the lines that you had was you mentioned going up against an army of liars. Do you still think that that army is marching through baseball?
I don't think so. I think a lot of those people, remember this happened probably about my era, of course, and I think a lot of the individuals admitted that there was a steroid era, there was a PED issue, and I think the book helped greatly clean up the game of baseball. So as time has gone on, I think, you know, the book has been accepted as a kind of, an indication or kind of novel on what happened in Major League Baseball in the actual time. And I definitely believe Major League Baseball is moving on for sure.
I hope it is. I really do. There's also a part of me that doesn't understand the outrage that we've always attached to this subject, because, you know, the body will only take you so far and then the mind takes over. And, you know, we look at LASIK eye surgery available to guys now. If that doesn't enhance performance over guys who played in the 40s and 50s and 60s who didn't have that, you know, there's always something modern poking its way into the game of baseball, and medicine certainly poked its way in. Do you continue to have any relationships with your former teammates?
Zero whatsoever. They're really not allowed to communicate or speak with me. And I haven't really reached out to any as of yet in the last year or so.
When you were sitting around and listening to you know, Tony La Russa going to bat over and over again for Mark McGwire, only to be proven a fool by history. Did you ever think of calling Tony while he was defending the wrong side of the argument to tell him how wrong he was, or did you not care?
You know, it's funny. I've had a couple appearances. I did speak with Tony La Russa, and of course, it will stay a private conversation. But I think at the point in time, what he did was just defend Mark McGwire. I think he knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what the error entailed and what the players were actually doing. But what he did was really just stick up for Mark McGwire in a certain situation.
Do you think the game is cleaner now? Do you think Rob Manfred is doing a good job?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the game should be 100% clean. I think you may get maybe a 1% of the individuals who maybe are at the end of the career and they are taking a risk, or the individuals who are coming from, let's say, other countries and being drafted here in the United States, and maybe they're finding an imprint or a residual, something they used to use in the actual past, which is very difficult to deal with. But the game itself, it's the best game in the world, and it's completely clean. At least, I would say a very high percentage of it is.
I know that they've made an honest effort. We see guys in the minor leagues continue to get popped more in the major leagues. And, you know, it's just they can't afford the good stuff yet. I think that's what the big problem is, Jose, don't you?
Well, I don't know if it's affording the good stuff or not having the actual knowledge about it.
If you could go back and do it all again, do you still juice?
At that point in time, if you look at the documentary, you look at the actual book Juiced, I made a promise to my mom, and it was strictly about that. I promised her to become the best player in the world, and I probably would have done anything to accomplish that, yes.
I appreciate the honesty, man. I really do. You know, I mean, I think it was really, you know, if 9 out of 10 people are doing it, why are you the bad guy? You know, and I really think that it was prolific, even more than you stated. I mean, I really think that that's how rampant it was. And I've always said, if there were a pill that made the common person going to work generational wealth, we would all be taking it. We would all take that pill, regardless of its legality or risk to our own bodies.
Well, exactly. I definitely think so. I think at that point in time, I don't think athletes early on in the 80s and so forth, I don't think athletes really understood exactly what PEDs did, whether physically to you or in the sense of if there were any regulations against it. So it's very difficult to tell. You know, the players in the 80s and 90s basically were just doing what everyone else was doing. I mean, a few people asked me, Jose, do you think it was cheating? And I kind of reply with this. If your infielders are using PEDs, if your pitchers are using PEDs, if your catchers are using PEDs, if your outfielders are using PEDs, if everyone's using PEDs, it's not cheating. It's an even playing field. And it really is.
Jose Canseco here on 95.7 The Game. And that is an argument that I've made talking about the era. If most people are doing it, how is it now cheating? I think the cheat comes for the guy who is trying to do it the right way, who doesn't want to do that, you know. And there are probably a lot of guys who would have made it into Major League Baseball if they had made the choice to do it. I think steroids turned more everyday normal players into good players than they did guys who wouldn't have made it into guys who actually made it. Not a single steroid ever made contact. I know it can put a little distance on the ball, but you know, what did you feel was your what was your go-to? I mean, what was the soup that you thought really got you ready for a monster month week campaign?
You know, I've always said this, and it's impossible to tell what PEDs do for each individual. You can't really rate it. It's just an impossibility, or the dosage, or whatever. I think a lot of it may have been more psychological. I think players really use PEDs for the reason of, you're talking about spring training is 6 weeks long. Now the actual season is 182 games. Now you're talking about playoffs and World Series. You're looking at 220 or 30 games per year. The original reason why players use PEDs is to kind of maintain their strength and avoid injuries during that long of an actual season, because it's very physically stressful. So, you know, along the way, people say, well, PEDs do this for you, PEDs do that. Okay, let me explain something to you about PEDs. PEDs don't make you an athlete. They don't give you hand-eye coordination. They don't give you athletic ability. It doesn't do that. It doesn't make an average guy Superman. But then again, I've always said this, and in my in the short film, there's a part where, you know, Captain America, the signal that we're sending to our kids, Captain America was created on PEDs.
Yeah.
He goes into the cylinder. He's a guy who couldn't make it in the Army, Navy, or Marines. He's very small and skinny. Physically, he just wasn't what they wanted. They put him into this cylinder, this canister. They inject him with all kind of chemicals. And boom, he comes out of Superman, Captain America. So look at the hypocrisy of that.
I agree with you. I agree. We're told what Barbies are bad influences on young girls, and it's giving them a dismorphed body image to live up to. But we are, as young boys, we grow up playing with He-Man and never think twice about it, right?
Well, if you look at a lot of the dolls that kids have grown up from the 40s, 50s to now, the skeletal structure and the muscular structure has developed 100%.
Absolutely.
These are companies developing, you know, superheroes, but, you know, the G.I. Joe doll from the 40s, you look at one from the 40s to the 2016, he's triple the muscle.
Jose Canseco is going to be playing baseball for the Pittsburgh Diamonds. Again, you can go to diamondsproball.com for all the information about when he'll be playing the games, the golf tournament that's happening on Friday as well. I love the ESPN 30 for 30s because it jogs me back to sports that I watched when I was a kid. I love the Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden story. I mean, they were so good. God, Doc Gooden's 1985 was ridiculous. Daryl had one of the sweetest swings of all time. They both were taken down by drugs that, you know, robbed them of their abilities. You were taken down by drugs that enhanced your abilities. Do you see the irony in that?
Yeah, it's an incredible irony where it seems like you really can't please anyone. I just think, you know, in our era of the PEDs, I know for a fact that the fans, they got their money's worth. I mean, fans pay so much money for parking, to get into the ballpark, for concessions, and then memorabilia they actually buy from these players, that, you know, they deserve to be entertained. They deserve to be acknowledged by the players and see something out of the ordinary. And I think in our era, anything, you know, we gave them something out of the ordinary. We gave them the monstrous home runs. We gave them large guys stealing bases, entertainers. We had, great big guys who can do extraordinary things. And I think, if anything, the fans got entertained, and they definitely got their own money's worth.
Jose, what is a signature moment of your career? Is it the home run in Toronto that's still traveling somewhere over Canada?
I think, you know, individually, of course, doing the 45. I think it's being the first player ever to say, you know what, this year I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to steal 40 bases and hit 40 home runs and sit there in spring training, and the media is laughing at me. They think I'm crazy. By the end of the year, I did the 40-40. I was rated the best player in the world. I fulfilled my promise to my mom, who passed away, and to me that was the highlight.
Who was your pitching kryptonite? The one guy knew you were. I'm pretty much tailor made for an 0-for-3 today.
Wow, Pedro, when he was untouchable, and probably Randy Johnson when he was on that slider. It was going to be a long day. So those guys were extremely tough to hit.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I think it's gone pretty darn well. So I'm going to wrap up where you began. Dennis Rodman said she was kind of a C-plus at best. How was Madonna? Tell me.
You know, it's funny. Everyone always asks me that. We were friends, and that's it. Kissed her one time.
You tell me Jose Canseco got stuck in the friend zone by Madonna? I don't believe you.
Yep. No, it was just we didn't spend time together. It was something that I tell people, I actually didn't find her attractive. It was kind of weird. So we maintained in that friend zone, and that's it. That's exactly what happened.
That's baller. I didn't really find her that attractive. She's just the most popular artist in the world during the time we're on the reigning American League MVP, but we couldn't make a connection.
She was popular, but she wasn't the best looking.
No, she was, but it seemed like she had, you know, we hear of street smarts. I thought she had sheet smarts.
She was pretty smart, pretty entertaining.
Nah, see, that, maybe you didn't do more than that. Look, Jose, let me tell you, if you're going to be around the Bay Area here, accept our invite to come in and do this for an extended segment. I'd love to have you in studio sometime. I think this is fascinating. I think you are as historical a figure baseball has ever seen and maybe the single most definitive figure of the last 20 years, 30 years, and certainly the steroids era. I find it fascinating, and I thank you for coming on today, Jose. It was a pleasure.
Great, great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Jose Canseco here on 95.7 The Game, and obviously we went way long with that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.